Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kedushin is Samech Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned. We are in Samech Hamad Aleph. Today's a good day to catch up. It's one sugya today. The sugya starts now on the Samech Hamad Aleph where we're about to begin. And it continues for the totality of the rest of today, all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Samech Vav Amud Beis. But we're going to be starting a sugya of Eid Echad, the effectiveness of one witness. It's coming off a Mishnah where the Mishnah actually is having a discussion where there are no witnesses. The Mishnah is talking about where there is a claim and a counterclaim of marriage. It's a strange Mishnah in that we are discussing a very simple debate between a man and a woman, where either he says I was Mekadesh you and she denies it, or she says I accept a condition from you and he denies it. And what we basically went over in the Mishnah is the idea of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Yisura, where because one of them actually believes that they got married, so from the perspective of the one who believes it, so they're married. And that means then that for him, from his perspective, all of her relatives are going to be also to him, but it's not going to work in the opposite. In other words, from her perspective where she's denying it, his relatives are not going to be asked to her. And we spent the mission went over four cases, and yesterday we discussed why the need of the four different cases. We are in the Gemara now on Samech Hamad Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down on the Amud, and we're starting with Amar of Yehuda. Amar of Yehuda, so here begins now the discussion in the Gemara of Eid Echad. So let's go. Amar Yehuda Mekash Be'ed Echad in Choshen LeKedushin. So Rav Yehuda says that if you're Mekash with one witness, so in other words, all you have is one witness, and generally speaking, in halacha, you need two witnesses. So you have one. Ein choshish in lekedushin. There is no concern whatsoever for the kedushin, meaning it has no halachic validity. Bami name Rav Yehuda's name Modemai. Well, what if the two parties involved, meaning the man and the woman who were involved in the kedushin, they were the kedushin? What if they say, "Yeah, we know we got married, and we got married in front of one witness." So the witness is not really the thought process right now in this question is that generally speaking, the purpose of the witnesses is to corroborate that something actually happened. Well, here we don't need corroboration because the man and the woman are admitting that this in fact happened. So, what would be the halacha there? So, my envelope, Rafia Bayadeh. So he said yes, followed then by no, and Rafia Bayadeh. And obviously, by saying yes and no, so Rafia Bayadeh was weak in his hand, meaning he did not have an absolute answer to this question. It's much so the Gemara then goes on to discuss this matter further. Amrav Nachman, Amr Shmuel, Mekash Beyedech, and Choshen LeKedushin. Ve'afil Shnei Modim. So then the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that if a man and woman get married in front of one witness and only one witness, and even if the two of them agree that they got married, still the Kedushin has no validity to it whatsoever. Eisvei Ravel Rav Nachman, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Omer Leishta, HaOmer Leisha Kedashtich, Vehi Omeris Lo Kedashtani. So we're going to quote our Mishnah, and our Mishnah, the classic, he said, she said. He said that we got married. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. Hu Asa Bekrovasev, Vehi Mutars Bekrovav. So he's forbidden to marry any one of her relatives. She, on the other hand, is permitted to marry any one of his relatives, our Mishnah. Now, so the Gemara at this point in time is kind of like stuck, a little confused. I don't understand. If there are witnesses, so then there shouldn't be any permissibility whatsoever, meaning the witnesses are going to validate the marriage. And if there are no witnesses, so then why should he be usher to her relatives if there were no witnesses? Allah be'ed echad. So it must be that in order to resolve the basic puzzle of the Mishnah, so it must be that there was one witness. So that's the Gemara suggestion. And basically, effectively, what the Gemara is saying is that when you have one witness and one of them is agreeing to the one witness, so then that's going to create a quasi-marriage. Now, I say quasi because even as you're learning it in the Mishnah, you know that the marriage is working from him to her, but not from her to him. So even in this stage of the Gemara, now we're going to, the Gemara in a moment is radically going to change its viewpoint, but at this stage of the Gemara, even when we're saying that one witness has some sort of validity, but it's only a one-directional validity, and okay, so but the Gemara is going to now change its tune. Hachabem ma'iskin kagon da amalak kidashticha bifnei ploni ploni va'achulam le'medina sayam. So the Gemara says no. What the discussion was is that from his side, he's saying we got married, and he's saying we got married in front of two witnesses. Where are they right now? Why can't I conjure them up? Okay, so they're somewhere vacationing. I don't know where they are right now, but We got married in front of two witnesses. That's his claim. So if that's his claim, so from his standpoint, they're married. Now, what is she saying? Again, she hasn't changed her tune. We're not married. I don't know what you're talking about. But at least then you understand the give and take in the Mishnah and why from his perspective they're married, and that's why he's also not marrying any one of her relatives. Eitzvei. The Gemara is going to challenge based on another Mishnah. After having divorced his wife, so then they spend, they lodge together. And now the question was, is that as they lodged together, as they took a room together in a hotel, so did they have relations, and did that relations construct a new marriage? So Beit Shammai says no, and Beit Hillel says yes. Now Hechidami, now the Gemara says, now again, let's try to wrap our heads around what's going on over here. Now if there are witnesses, so then I don't understand, then they had relations. And that means that they got married again. And Vidaleka ate them. Now, if there were no witnesses, my time in the Beis Hillel. So what's behind the opinion of Beis Hillel? So it must be that the issue over here is that there was one witness. And that's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of whether or not the marriage is validated or not validated. And now, if that's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so normally we fall like Beis Hillel, what's Beis Hillel teaching us? Then one witness constitutes enough testimony to say that they're married again. The Gemara says, well, Tamechem Asefer, the Gemara says, okay, let's see if your pshat works out at the end. Let's move on to the next part of this Mishnah. Let's say they got a divorce, but from their first marriage was never consummated, meaning the first marriage only went to the first stage of marriage, Kedushin, but it never moved on to Nisuin. So that means that they never had relations with one another historically. Now, if they take a room together, and we don't know anything other than that they took a room together, so they do not need get sheni, they do not need a second divorce, because the assumption is that they're not having relations. Mim neshein libo gaspa, because they're not comfortable with one another as of yet. Now, if you tell me that they had relations in front of one witness, and the one witness has validity, so then I don't understand. It doesn't matter what their history is in the first marriage. In the first marriage, it was either Nisuin or it was just Erisin, but if the one witness is what's giving the credibility, so the history really shouldn't make a difference. The one witness is providing the credibility that they had relations, and therefore they need a get sheni. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously what we have to do is we have to give a new pshat in this Mishnah, and the new pshat in the Mishnah is going to go like this. There were witnesses, and in fact there were two witnesses, but the only thing the two witnesses saw is that the two of them go into the room together. They did not see anything more than that. Otherwise known as Eide Yichud. And now, Beit Shammai Savrei, Lo Arminan, Hein Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Hein Eide Bia. Now, Beit Shammai is of the opinion that just because you saw the Eide Yichud does not necessarily mean that you saw the Eide Bia. Meaning, just because there's a chance that they had relations with that room, that doesn't necessarily mean that we know that they did. Beit Shammai Savrei, Arminan, Hein Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Hein Eide Bia. And Beis Hillel says no. The fact that they were in a room together, so, and they were miyached and they were secluded, so that means that they most likely, more than most likely, they had bia together, and therefore that constitutes a second marriage, and therefore you're going to need a second get from each other. He's going to have to give her a second get. And that, of course, now allows us to understand the next part of the Braisa. Because the next part of the Braisa says, and what if historically they didn't have bia? So that means that they don't have a level of comfort with one another. They were never intimate historically. So therefore, even though witnesses saw them go into a secluded room together, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they had relations, and therefore it doesn't need a second get. So, where are we right now in the Gemara? So, a question of, if a man and woman get married, and they do so in front of one witness, is that one witness going to provide any type of validity to that marriage? Right now, the Gemara quoted Rav saying, maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. Shmuel says, I'm sorry, if they don't agree, even Rav will tell you that it's nothing. But if they admit that they got married, so Rav says if it was one witness, that's maybe something. He wasn't sure. But Shmuel says definitively that getting married in front of one witness, even when the two parties agree they got married, is going to be halachically insignificant. The Gemara continues to discuss this point. We're on the very top of Samachei Amud Beis. Am Rav Yisrael Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei De Rav Amikash Beid Echad Ein Choshen LeKedushin VaAfilu Shnei Modim. So here the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav. Now, I know on the Amud Aleph, Rav was quoted as being unsure about this point, but either it's a different Masorah. This was given over to us by Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, so it's a different Masorah. Could be that Rav was at a later stage of his life, and well, okay, I can only speculate why the Rav over here does not necessarily agree with the Rav in the Amud Aleph, but still, point being, Rav over here is of the opinion that the marriage in front of one witness, even when the husband and wife agree they got married, is halachically not significant. So Rabbi Ravuna says that if you get married in front of one witness, so the great Beis Din said you were not worried about the kedushin. My Beis Din Rabba Rav. So the Beis Din Rabba is a reference to Rav. The Igadamina, we're going to make the same point, but a slightly different variation. Now here, Rav is quoting the Beit Din Rabba. So obviously Rav is not quoting himself. Who is he quoting? Man Beit Din Rabba, Rebbe. So it's a reference to Rebbe. Okay, so right now we have a Masorah by Rav quoting Rebbe that getting married in front of one witness is halachically insignificant. Meitzav Rav Achtabui Baram Yishnayim Shabal Mimidil Asayam V'Yishay Mahem. The Chavila Mehem. So Gemara is now going to quote another Braisa. Two people are coming from overseas together with a woman, and there's a Chavila, there's a package. Let's assume right now the package has a lot of money inside. So now in this three-party caravan that's coming, so one of them makes the following claim. You see that woman over there? That's my wife. You see that man over there? That's my Eved. And you see that package over there? That's mine as well. Okay, so, and Vizeh Omer, now the second man is going to make the same exact claim, just regarding the other two. So, okay, so, second person makes the same exact claim. That guy over there is my Eved Kanani, that woman's my Isha, and that package belongs to me. The Isha Omer is, now the woman, not to be outdone, so she also makes claims. And she says, Elu Shnei Avadai, V'chavila Shali. You see those two young men over there? They're my Eved Kananim. Avadim Kananim, and that package belongs to me. Okay, now Tzrichesh Negitim V'govik Suvasa Min HaChavila. Now, in order for everyone to move on now, so she's going to need a double get. She's going to need a get from both men who both claim that they are her husband, and she's going to collect the ksuva from the package. Meaning there is money in their little caravan, and she will collect from the chavila, from the package. Now the Gemara says, what is going on over here? And that question could be asked on so many levels. Meaning each one of them is making you claim. Okay. Aside from the drama and the soap opera over here, meaning we're right now just interested in the halacha. Why is their claim going to have any significance whatsoever? Meaning he's making a claim that she's his wife. The second man's making a claim that she's his wife. And what is, halachically, what is going on over here that in order for her to collect her ksuva, she's going to need witnesses? Now, if there are witnesses, so then her claim is going to have no basis whatsoever. Because if witnesses say that she's married, witnesses corroborate one, and witnesses to corroborate the second. And I know you're, and of course you're right. Meaning she can't be married to both. But the point is that if witnesses are in this entire equation, so then her claim is going to be totally outlandish in that she says, "Oh, don't worry, I'm not married, and they're my Eved Kanani, and then that package belongs to me." So Elalav Beit Echad. So the Gemara says it must be that there is one witness, and that one witness creates some sort of marriage. Now, hard to wrap my head around that idea. It's some sort of marriage. Well, either you're married or you're not married. So, but right now, what the Gemara is suggesting, the Gemara is going to change its tune in just a moment, is that Eid Echad lends some credence and some credibility to the idea that they're married. So the Gemara says, V'tizbra Eid Echad be'hachashom imeheman. So the Gemara says, now wait one second, that in of itself, that's also not going to be the case, because yes, it's one witness, but there's also a contestation of that one witness, and we're not going to believe one witness over somebody contesting the one witness. So the Gemara says, okay, let's say it like this. Is she permitted to marry somebody else? Of course she is. Because nobody's validating the marriage. In other words, in order for a marriage to be valid, you need two witnesses. And anything short of two witnesses, halachically, has no significance. Like we've been saying the entire sugya. The only point we're making over here is the following. She wants to collect her ksuva. And in order for her to, and not only does she want to collect her ksuva, she wants to collect so from the chavila. Meaning that they don't have to, you don't have to go after their estate and their assets. There's money right here in this caravan. And each one of them claims that the money belongs to them. In order for her to be able to collect her ksuva, and specifically from the bundle that's coming together with them, so therefore a ksuva is required from both of them in order to collect from the chavila. And in order to understand this, we have to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rameir. Rameir says that even movables are mortgaged, are leaned against the ksuva obligation. And so therefore, if she in fact got a get from both parties, so now that would enable her to collect her ksuva from the chavila that comes that is going together with them.
But is the chavila belonging to both?
Well, each one claims that they are owners of the chavila. So in the event that they give her a get, and that's a big if, but if both of them give her a get, so then she would now be able to collect her ksuva, and specifically from the chavila. My best guess would be aid a kedusha or aid kedushin, I should say. That's my best guess. Okay, where are we in the Gemara right now? In the middle of a lengthy discussion in the Gemara of whether or not one witness by kedushin will give any halachic validity whatsoever to the kedushin. So the answer is effectively it will not. But the Gemara has been kicking around this question back and forth, quoting Mishnayos, quoting Braisos, and the Gemara says, My Havi Allah is the point in the break point in the Gemara. It's always the break point in the Gemara, where after a lengthy discussion, the Gemara basically says, okay, and let us now get to the bottom line. What is the bottom line? So, My Havi Allah, Rav Kahana Amar Yechoshin L'Kedushin, Rav Papa Amar Yechoshin L'Kedushin. So, and it's always funny, the Gemara says the bottom line is, it's a machlokas. Okay, so one Amara says, we are concerned about the Kedushin, Rav Papa says, I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Rav Kahana says we're not concerned with the kedushin. Rav Papa says we are concerned with the kedushin. Amle Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana my daitech the alpha dava dava mimamon. So they turn. Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, What is your thought process? Is it the fact that we're learning Xerushava from money? Imalahalan ho does baldin kame adam dami, Afkano does baldin kame adam dami. So, and we know when it comes to money, you make an admission on money. Okay, no witnesses. But so you come along and you simply say, yes, I owe you the money. So we have a general principle of Hodas Baldin, that when you have an admission by one person, so it's Kamei Eidem, it's tantamount to 100 witnesses saying that you owe the money. So the Gemara says, now that's true by monetary law. Amalei Hasam lo kachayev lachrina. Hacha kachayev lachrina. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to... when it comes to you admitting that you owe money, so that's fine. You want to give your money to somebody, by all means, you have every right to do so. And nobody else stands to lose. Rashi says, "Lo kachayv lachrina einu chav lacherim ba'odasazu shein nifsad elahu." The only one who stands to lose over here is you. You're the only one who stands to lose. But over here, however, when we're talking about marriage, so now we're talking about a chov, we're talking about an obligation. Meaning that if by substantiating the marriage between this man and this woman based on the testimony of one witness or based on self-reporting, so now the woman is going to be prohibited to marry any one of this man's relatives. So in other words, she does stand to lose based on the report of one witness or based on self-reporting. So you can't compare monetary law to kedushin. So the Gemara ends off with a discussion with a self-report or one witness is simply not going to have any validity as it relates to kedushin. Okay. And basically, in the yeshivas, this is, you know, you're going to hear this again and again. Basically, there are two types of testimony. There are two types of edim. There's an edim for bir hadavar and edim for kiyum hadavar. This is, generally speaking, how it's said over in the yeshivas. Meaning that when you have witnesses, witnesses are doing one of two possible purposes. Number one, they are there to establish and create a new status. And that's marriage. Meaning marriage is to create a new status. And previously, you were unmarried. Now you're married. Now from the woman, it's her new status is going to make her prohibited to any other man. Nowadays, because of Rabbeinu Gershom, the same thing is going to be true with the man. The man is not allowed to marry another woman. So it changes your entire status. So for that, even if there's corroboration, and even if both parties say, yeah, we got married, but without Edim, there's no Kiyum Hadavar. In other words, there's no change in status. So that's one purpose of Edim. And by marriage, by Kiddushin, so that's certainly the case. And that's essentially what we've been learning now for the past 20 minutes of the Daf. I got it to the second. In terms of timestamp. So for the last 20 minutes of the Daf, essentially, the Gemara was entertaining the idea that maybe one witness will be enough, maybe self-reporting is going to be enough, but essentially, no. In other words, in order to change status, you need witnesses, specifically two kosher witnesses, and otherwise, there is no change of status. That's the purpose of Edim by Kedushin. By money, and the story we're about to see in the Gemara is going to bear out this point even better. The purposes of witnesses by money is birur hadavar. We just want to know, do you owe the money or do you not owe the money? So there, when it comes to monetary law, and the purposes of Edim by monetary law is birur hadavar, so there, self-reporting is going to work. Because the only reason why Edim are there is to tell us whether, in fact, it did or did not happen. If I'm now claiming it happened, and I say I owe the money, so of course I'm going to owe the money, because the only reason why we have Edim over there is just to validate that it happened. If I report that it happened, it obviously must have happened. With all that stated, we go on in the Gemara, and this story that we're about to see is going to really put in concretized terms exactly this distinction that we just made. Marzuchavrav Ada Sava Beneder of Mari Bar Isser. So the Gemara tells the story of two brothers, and they were both the son of Ramari Bar Yisr, Palag Nechsaya Bahadi Adade. And they had an estate, and they're dividing the estate. Also, the Kamad Ravashi. Now they go to Ravashi, Amrule Al Pishnei Edim Yakum Davar. So they quote the pasuk from the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, and Amrachmana Di Ibai Lamehed Lamati Hadarbe. So now it's true that the Torah says that you need two witnesses. However, is it the explanation that I need two witnesses so, in the event that later on we're going to retract from our position, we won't be able to because we have witnesses? V'anan lo hadari. We, on the other hand, we totally trust one another. We spent a lifetime together with one another. I know he won't cheat me. He knows that I won't cheat him. And we have total trust with one another. And so do we need witnesses in order to divide our father's estate? Or maybe no. Maybe the purposes of witnesses is kiyum, in order to effectively create the status of this part of the estate belongs to me and this part of the estate belongs to you. And that transaction will not be concretized unless we have witnesses. Amalahu lo ivru sahade el lashakre. So his answer was is that the whole establishment of witnesses is only to avoid shakranim, in order to make sure that nobody's lying later on. How do we ensure that nobody's lying later on? We'll bring the two witnesses, and they'll come, and they'll validate that nobody lied. Effectively, what he's saying is, if you guys trust one another, you can divide the estate, and you don't need witnesses. Okay. Adkan. That brings us to the end of the sugya of Eda Echad. Not really the end, as I promised earlier this morning. Really, the entirety of today's daf, that was the end of yesterday's daf. Almost. And we're about to continue now in the Gemara. But effectively, now that is the end of the discussion of Eid Echad as it relates to Ne'amanus. What have we learned so far today? That when it comes to Kedushin, in order to establish the marriage, you need two witnesses. One witness is nothing. Halakhically nothing. You need two witnesses in order to establish a marriage. Why? Because there, those Edim are Kiyum Hadavar. They're there to establish that they get married. They're not there to verify that they get married. They're there to establish that they get married. married, the marriage simply cannot occur without the witnesses. When it comes to monetary law, as we just saw in the Gemara, and we just saw through the story, so when it comes to monetary law, the purpose of witnesses is to verify. Well, if the purpose of the witness is to verify, and we don't need verification, we trust one another, we don't need witnesses. Ad kan. That brings us to the end of yesterday's daf, and let's continue now. Amar Abaye. A witness comes over to you and it says to you that you ate chalef. Chalef are the forbidden fats of an animal. They are, generally speaking, attached to the various organs of an animal. The Gemara Chulin goes through details and anatomically which part of the animals is considered chalef. So unbeknownst to you, you ate chalef. Okay? You were in a state of unawareness. You forgot it was chalef. You forgot that chalef was aser. Whatever. Inadvertently, you ate chalef. Now, you had a witness come over to you, point his finger to you, and say, you ate chalef. V'halo shosek. Now, your response is, you were quiet. You were silent to that argument. So, v'tana, I'm sorry. So, v'halo shosek ne'man. So, the result is going to be that he is, he's believed. The one witness is going to be believed. Now, this comes off of the heels of a Gemara that just told us that when it comes to Kiyum HaGavra, for establishing matter, so you need two witnesses, and anything short of two witnesses is not going to be sufficient. So this halacha of Abaye over here needs a little bit of understanding. Why should it be that when the one witness points his finger at you and claims that you ain't chalef, and you're quiet, so he's going to be believed? If you take a look at Tosos, if you take a look at Tosos, Tosos says, "Amar lo edach arachal techelav, v'halo shosig neman perish d'shtika ko dasadami, v'having no dalo me'atzmo." So Tosos over here says, really, the one witness is not what is obligating you to bring the carbon. The one witness is there just simply to provide the information necessary. But what is it requiring you to bring the carbon? The fact that you are quiet when accused of eating the chalev, and consequently, we know the principle is shtika koda. So that basically serves as an admission. Ava amarlo eni yodea, but Tosos goes on to write, if you say, I don't know, eino neman l'chayv a carbon. Then you're not going to bring a carbon over the fact that you ate chalev. Parenthetically, I should have pointed this out in the beginning. Eating chalev is one of the 34 lav in the Torah, where if I violate the lav and I do so inadvertently, I'm going to have to bring a carbon chatas. So eating chalev is one of them. So if the one witness comes and says that you ate chalev, and you look at him and you say, I don't know what you're talking about, you're not going to bring a carbon chatas. Why? Rashi quotes the Gemara. Let me do that again. Better. Tosos quotes the psukim in Parshas Vayikra. Ohoda ilav v'lo sheyidu acherim. When are you on the hook for having to bring a carbon when you make the admission that you ate chalev? But if somebody's telling you you ate chalev, but you have no earthly idea, even if he's right, you're not chayv a carbon chatas. You're only chayv a carbon chatas when you admit that you ate chalev. You knew you ate chalev. And intuitively, by the way, it makes perfect sense. Because what's the purpose of a carbon chatas? It's there to be mechaper for something that you, at the time, were not fully cognizant of because you weren't careful. And then later you realized, oh no, that's what I did wrong. But if somebody's telling you that you didn't, you have literally no idea what he's talking about, now you don't bring a carbon chatas. Okay. Adkan, that is... That is Tosos' understanding of our entire sugya. So really, according to Tosos, the entire sugya is predicated on the fact that it's your shtika which is really requiring you to bring the karban. That is halacha number one of Abaye. We're going to go through two more halachas of Abaye. Vitanatuna, before we go through the second and third halacha, let me just read the brisa. I should have done this. Vitanatuna, we have a brisa supporting this first halacha of Abaye. Amalo edecha rechalta chelev. One witness says you ate chelev. Vahalo amalo achalti. And you say, nope, I didn't eat it. I know you're wrong. So pata. So then you're going to be exempt from having to bring a carbon. Time damar lo ha ishtik mehemen. Now clearly the deduction is very simple. It's because you said no that you don't have to bring a carbon. If you were quiet, so then that shtika forms. It serves like a hoda, and therefore you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. Halacha number two of Abaye. Amar Abaye amar lo edecha nitmu mitarosecha. V'hala shosek. Let's say somebody comes over to you and says that your taharos have become tameh, and your response is silence. Neman, he's going to be believed. And again, The idea over here, Ishtika Goda. Vitanatuna, the Gemara says, and furthermore, I have a brisa supporting this as well. One witness says that your taharas becomes tummy, and you just simply deny that he is right. And you say that he's wrong. So pater. So then you don't have to bring a carbon. So time adam lo. Ha ishtik mammon. Now the reason why the Brisa says that you're not going to be chayv a carbon is because you said no. But if you're quiet, so then you're going to be believed. Now, by the way, just because your taharos have become tameh, that by itself doesn't require you to bring a carbon. Right? You have to be tameh and go into the Beit HaMikdash. But the point is still essentially the same. One witness telling you that your taharos become tameh, if you're quiet, so Abaye says, so then your taharas do in fact become tameh. Ve'amar Abaye. Amalo eid echa shurcha nirva. Let's say a witness comes along and says that your ox was sodomized. Vahala shosik, and to that you are quiet. Neman, he's going to be believed. And again, it's based on the fact that you were silent, which is now basically an admission on your part that your animal was in fact sodomized. What is the result of your animal being sodomized? Rashi on the top explains, your animal cannot be brought as a carbon. Meaning a nirva, an animal that was sodomized, is no longer fit as a carbon for the Mizbeach. Vitana Tuna, back to the Gemara, we're now in the very top of Samach Vav Amid Aleph. The Brisa corroborates this as well. Vishenevda bo avera ushehemis alpi eid echad o alpi abalim neman. If an avera was done to the animal, meaning the animal was sodomized, or the animal killed but only on the testimony of one witness, or the owner admitted that his animal killed, so then he's going to be believed, and the animal cannot be brought as a carbon. Why is your animal not being put to death if it kills somebody? So Rashi points out, because just like a person can only be put to death if there are two witnesses, so to your animal can only be put to death if there are two witnesses. If there's only one witness, your animal is not going to be put to death. Anyway, when it says one witness, well, is the owner agreeing? Because if the owner is agreeing, the Brisa already discussed Alpi Abalim. So it must be that the one witness says that your animal killed somebody, and the owner was silent. And once again, you see that the Eid Echad is going to give the status of the animal a psul lemizbeach, and it's based on the fact that the one witness comes to you and you're silent. Three halachas by Abaye, and essentially all three halachas are the same halacha in three different areas. One, the one witness says you ate chalev, you were quiet. Two, the one witness says that your taharas become tameh, and you're quiet. Three, the one witness comes and says that your shor was nirva, your animal was sodomized, and you were quiet. Utsricha. And the classic form of the formula of the Gemara, why all three cases? I need all three cases. De'i ashmi'inan ha'chamaisef. It was only case number one of the chelev. Ilav de'kim le'benav she'i da'avid chulen ba'azara lo'ha ve'maisef. Well, the person is going to make sure that he himself knows that he ate chalev, because consider the consequence of not having eaten chalev. If he in fact did not eat chalev, so then the carbon chatas that he brings to the Beis HaMikdash is not necessary, and that represents chulin ba'azara. So he realizes that there are high stakes involved if he didn't eat chalev. So there, I could say that the one witness is really... is really not the key component. It's the fact that he himself knows that he ate the chalev, otherwise he wouldn't be bringing a carbon. Now, as far as the second case, where we're talking about his taharos becoming tameh, so he's going to say to himself, I know the one day witness tells me that it's tameh, but the truth of the matter is, what do I really care? In other words, so now my food is tameh. And you know what? Okay, so there are going to be times in life where I myself am going to be tameh, and I'll eat the food that's tameh while I'm in a state of tumah. Like over there, it's not the consequence is not such a big deal. Right, but in other words, the Gemara says it's lo kimlahu, meaning correct, but let's even say he's right, but he could be right, he could be wrong. I don't really care. Mashen came by Chelev. I have a stake in the matter in terms of whether he's right or not right. And then finally, V'yashmin and Hamishim to come mafsi lebi meitan raso. Now, in the second case, look, maybe over there you can, I do have a stake in the matter, because now it means that I'm limited and I'm not allowed to eat this food while I'm in a state of tahara. In the third case over here, my animal was sodomized. Who cares? I mean, it's distasteful, but who cares? Meaning, when all said and done, it can't bring it as a carbon. Most animals are not brought as a carbon. Most animals are going to end up on my dinner table. So, like, I don't really care. So there also, you can make the argument that ishtika is not really serving as a hodah, as he really doesn't care. That's why all statements of abaya are necessary. Continuing now in the Gemara's discussion of the validity of one witness, the Gemara over here asks deals with a very serious issue, and that is a woman is committing adultery, but only under the vision of one witness. Now, in the yeshiva, in other words, yes, that's right. The Bnei HaYeshiva are discussing this. So one witness comes over to you and says that your wife was mezana and you were quiet. Amar Abaye Naman, Rava Amar Einu Naman. So Abaye says credibility, and Rava says no credibility. Now it happens to be that, as far as from Abaye's standpoint, it like fits in with the last three cases that we just discussed. Meaning Abaye told us once, twice, a third time that when one witness comes in and makes a claim against you and you're quiet, so that hodah serves as an admission. But over here we're talking about znus. So Abaye says that you believe, but Rava says you're not believed. Now Rava's position is very simple to understand in a halachic framework. Because we're talking about arayos. In order to establish arayos, you cannot establish arayos with anything less than two witnesses. Amar Abaye menami nalada hu samya. So Abaye says, look, I'm right, and I'll tell you how I'm right. Now over here, the source of Abaye is not going to be a mission or a brisa, it's going to be anecdotal. But the anecdote is really based on the ruling of Shmuel. The story goes like this, a really sad story. There was a blind person who would learn daily with Shmuel, and he would memorize brisas in front of Shmuel. Okay, he didn't have sight, but he would say over the brisas, hear the brisas, say them over, and he would memorize brisas together with Shmuel. Now one day he got late to yeshiva, and it was very unusual, and Shmuel's wondering, where is my Talmud? Where's my blind Talmud? Shadar Shlicha Basrei. So Shmuel sends a messenger to go fetch him from his house. So now there are two paths to get from Shmuel to the blind man's house. The blind man taking one path, the Shlich taking the other path to get to the house of the blind man. Now the shliach gets to the house, the blind man's not there, the blind man's wife is there, and unfortunately he sees the blind man's wife involved in znus with another man. And now the shliach goes back to Shmuel and reports to Shmuel what he saw. Now he goes to Shmuel, and he tells Shmuel, and he also tells the blind man as well. Now Shmuel turns to the blind man and he says the following: Zil afke. If you believe, so then divorce your wife. V'ilo lo tepuk, and if you don't believe him, so then do not divorce your wife. Now that's Shmuel's ruling. Now, what we need to understand is, what is Shmuel actually saying? And that is now the difference between Abaye and Rava. My love, ima hemen alach, the love gazlanuhu. So Abaye says, you know what Shmuel meant? He meant, we have right now one witness. And what Shmuel's saying is, as long as you believe that one witness, meaning he's a kosher witness, meaning he's not a gazlan. We're talking about the shliach who saw it. So as long as he's credible to you, as long as he's kosher, so then you have no choice. You have to divorce your wife. That's how Abaye understands Shmuel's ruling. And if that's the correct way to understand Shmuel's ruling, so what did we just learn together? That one witness is going to be believed by his nurse. So Verava. And Rav is going to tell you that's not what Shmuel meant. No. What Shmuel meant is as follows. Look, he's one witness, and he's not enough. And you don't have to divorce your wife. However, if you suspect that this one witness is right, and you really think that your wife is being mezana, So then you divorce your wife. Meaning, if you want to treat the one witness like two witnesses, so that's your prerogative. But it's also your prerogative to just simply say, it's only one witness, and I don't have to believe him, because it's not two. So that's what Shmuel meant, and if that's what Shmuel meant, so then that obviously is supportive of Rava's position, that in order to establish the divorce, you need two witnesses. Well, in other words, in this scenario, if we're talking about znos, so for the two witnesses, for one witness, one witness has ramifications in halacha, specifically shvuah. In other words, if I make a claim against you that you owe me money, and I have one witness, so now you have to make a shvuah. And if you can't make a shvuah, so then I collect the money. But that, generally speaking, is the effectiveness of one witness. Now, Abaye is going to try to bolster his position based on a Braisa. Braisa goes like this, Maisa b'Yanai HaMelech, there's a story with Yanai, King Yanai. King Yanai, we hear time and again throughout Shas, he lived during the second base of Mikdash, brother-in-law to Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, you'll find him in Pirkei Avos. He was a descendant of the Chashmonaim, so he was both a king and he was also a Kohen. And that's important. You'll see that'll play significant in this particular episode. So there was an incident with Yanai Melech, Shalach Lekuch L'Shebemidbar V'Kiv Hesham Shishim Krachim. So he went to the desert and he conquered 60 cities over there. Okay, so he was he waged war. Over Chazaras, Yasamech Simcha Gedola. Now over the success of his victory in battle, so he comes back and he's very happy. V'Kar L'Chol Chachmei Yisrael, and he gathers together all the Chachamim Amalem Avasenu Ayu Ochlem Meluchim Bezman Shayasugim Bevinyan Beis Hamikdash. You know, our forefathers, so they would eat salty foods when they were building the base of Mikdash. In other words, they didn't have a lot of money, and they ate whatever they can get their hands on. The Rashi over here describes that when building the second base of Mikdash, they were very poor, and the money had to go towards the building campaign, and they didn't have a lot of food anyway. So, but the Af Anu Necha Meluchim Zechel Avosenu. So, okay, so we're going to eat the poor food to remind ourselves of the sacrifice that were made by our forefathers. Ve'alu Meluchim Al Shulchan Ashel Zav, and they brought the poor man's food on golden tables. Va'achlu, and they ate of Ayusham Echad. Sorry. Yeah, v'yayusham echad ish leitz leiv ra ubilial. And there was a man over there who was just a bad person. He was just a bad human being. And v'alazer ben purai yishmo, and the Gemara has no problem identifying who it was. V'yomer elazer ben purai liyanai hamelech. And he turns to the king and he says to the king, Yanai hamelech libam shel purushim alecha. You know, these rabbis who are sitting here at the table and they're enjoying the food and it looks like they're very happy together with you, but I'm telling you, in their heart of hearts, they do not like you. Moreover, they think you're not fit to be the king. Uma'aseh, and what should you do? Meaning, I'm going to tell you, here's a litmus test to see whether or not the rabbis are really happy with you or not. Hakem lahem b'tzisha bein anecha. Take the tzitz that's worn by the Kohen Gadol and put it on your head and wear the tzitz. Hakem alah b'tzisha bein einav, and he takes the tzitz and he puts it on his head. Hayusham. Hayasham Zaken Echad. There was an elder over there, Yehuda ben Gedidya Shmo. By Yomer Yehuda ben Gedidya Liyanai Amelech, Yanai Amelech Ravlach Keser Machus. So this rabbi, who was one of the Purushim, Yehuda ben Gedidya, says to him, look, you're the king. And isn't that enough? Meaning you want to be the king and you want to be the Kohen Gadol? Hanach Keser Kuhun Lazar Shal Aaron. Leave the Kohen to the descendants of Aharon. Meaning, you're not a descendant of Aaron. Now, to say that to Yanai HaMelech is an act of insubordination. It's rebellious because Yanai HaMelech believed not only was he the king, which he was, but he also believed that he was a descendant of Kohanim. He thought he was a Kohen. And he was a member of the family of the Chashmonaim. Shayu Omrim. Now, why is it that the rabbis thought that he was not a Kohen? Well, genealogically he was a Kohen, biologically he was a Kohen, but halachically he was a Chalal, devoid of status of Kahuna. Omrim imo nishbas b'modiim. So there was a report that his mother was taken into captivity. And as we've learned, we just spent a couple days ago learning that someone who was taken into captivity is now a suffix zona, and so therefore the resulting child is going to be a chalo. So v'yivukasha davar v'lo nimsa. Now there was an investigation of the matter, and it turned out not to be true. So, but you had these rumors about Yanai's mother that she was a shvuya, and therefore Yanai was was genealogically a kohen, but halachically had no kohen status. V'yibalu chachmi Yisrael b'za'am v'yomer. And the Chachmei Yisrael separated from Yanai HaMelech, and they did so with anger. In other words, they basically censored him. If a Hedjah Sheb Yisrael, which was treated with such insubordination, what do you think the result should be? Atam Melech v'Kohen Gadol. And before answering that question, let's keep in mind, you're a king, you're a Kohen Gadol. Kachu din cha, and this is how they treat you. If you listen to me, to this really bad man says to Yanai Melech, so I'll tell you, kill them all. Now Yanai Melech says, yeah, but they're Chachmei Yisrael, meaning they're the Balei Masora. What's going to happen to the Torah if I kill them all? So Ari Kurcha Munachas Bekeren Zavis Kol Arotz Alomod Yavol V'Yomod. So this really bad guy says to Yanai Melech, well, you know, there's a Torah's over there in the corner, so anyone who wants to learn the Torah can learn the Torah. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Gemara over here inserts a small editorial note in the story. Miyad Nizrika Bo Apikarsus Ahavla Lameimar. You know, at that point, Yanai Melech, if he was thinking clearly, he would have said, Tenech Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebapem, Mai. So, okay, Torah Shebechsav, you're right, the Torah could be learned. But the Balei Masorah are also conveying, they're communicating the Torah Shebapeh from one generation to the next generation. So if we kill all the Chachmei Yisrael, we're going to lose Torah Shebapeh. That's what Yanai Melech should have said. But Nizrika bo apikursus. But he had a little precursus jump into him, crept into him, and he couldn't construct that argument. Miyad v'totzitz hara yidei alav ben pariah. So at that point in time, evil comes as a result of this bad man Elazar v'yargu kol chachmei Yisrael. And this is the Gemara that teaches us that Yanai HaMelech killed chachmei Yisrael. V'haya olam mishtomen, and the world was desolate. Ad sheba Shema Meshetach v'echzir es hatorah liyoshna. Shema Meshetach returned the Torah back to its previous state. This Gemara over here, you remember when we did Brachos in the seventh parak of Brachos, a most unusual episode. The Gemara is over there around Mem Zayin Mem Ches in Brachos, where Yanai HaMelech wanted a bench. He ate a meal and he wanted a bench. And the only problem is he himself didn't know how to bench, and he also killed all Chachmei Yisrael. The Gemara over there reports. Our Gemara over here gives us the background information of what got him to the point of killing Chachmei Yisrael. Okay. Heichi Dami. And as I mentioned, I think I mentioned this already earlier this morning, Shimon Meshetach was his brother-in-law. Yanai HaMelech was married to the sister of Shimon Meshetach. So, and she hid him while he was killing all Chachmei Yisrael. Okay. Hey Chidami, Elam de Beitrei. Now, the Gemara over here brings this story really for only one reason. Now, the Gemara is single-minded in its focus, meaning the story is amazing. It's an important story. It's many facets to the story, but the Gemara is really interested in one. They did an investigation regarding Yanai's mother. Now, the investigation was proven false. What exactly happened? So the Gemara says, "My chazias the sam." I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Let me go back. Hey chidami, ilam de beitrei amar ishtabei, amar ishtabei ubeitrei amar lo ishtabei. Now, if it's two witnesses saying that Yanai's Melech was taken into captivity, and two witnesses says that she was not taken into captivity, my chazias the samach tahanis machani. So you have what's called edi hachasha. The witnesses are just simply negating one another. Two forces equal but opposite equals zero. And the Yanai's mother is therefore going to be considered good. Ela be'ed echad. So it must be that we have one witness telling us that she was taken to captivity. V'tamid kamach shelei. And it's only because he is he's being machish, he's rejecting. Machish le be'tray. Halav hachi. Mehemen. But had it not been for a contestation of the one witness, so the one witness would have been believed. So basically, the entire story of Yanai Melech is there to get us to the point where if I have one witness and the one witness is being contested, so then the one witness is not going to be believed. But otherwise, if I have one witness that said, now here it's not znus per se, but still, the point is that one witness is telling us that Yanai's mother was taken into captivity and violated by the captor. And it's, again, speculation, but if that's true, so that would be a proof that one witness is going to be believed. And Rava, what's Rava going to tell you? La'olam, shrei u'trei. Now, the truth of the matter is, really, it's two witnesses against two witnesses. Now, we said, how can that be? That's what's called Eidei Hachasha. U'kadam ervach abram min yom ebeide azama, achanam ebeide azama. So the Gemara says, either it could be that the second set of witnesses are going to trump the first set of witnesses because the second set of witnesses are Eidim Mazimim. They say regarding the first set of witnesses, Imanah Ha'isim B'makom Ploni. Not that they are contradicting the testimony, they're contradicting the ability of the first witnesses to testify. And Chiddush HaTorah, and we know that the Torah it gives us a novel idea that by Eidim Mazimim, we believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. That's one possibility. A second possibility, by Yisemek HaTorah, it could be that there was a mission to extract Yanai's mother from the captives, and she was replaced with a Shifcha Kananis, and that's why all the confusion ensued in terms of whether or not she was a Yanai's mother was taken into captivity, or the substitute to Yanai's mother was taken into captivity. Okay, where do we land right now in the Gemara? So, just quickly recap. We did a lot of Gemara today. Not caught up yet, but we did a lot. Okay, our first discussion today was if a man and woman get married in front of one witness, is it going to have validity? The Gemara spent nearly an entire daf discussing this, start on Samech Hamad Aleph, ends on the bottom of Samech Hamad Beis. The conclusion of the Gemara is that when you need Eidim for Kiyam Hadavar like Kiddushin, so you need two. Anything less than two, meaning one, has no validity whatsoever. Even if the man and woman admit they got married, still one witness is not going to create it. That is what we learned earlier this morning. That's Eidim Lekiyam Hadavar. When it comes to monetary law, the Eidim are there serving as Birur Hadavar. It's just to verify, not validate. And if the purpose of the Eidim is to verify, so then we don't need the Eidim in order to verify. That is what we learned in the first half of today's daf. That was really yesterday's daf. Second half of today's daf is going to be the validity of one witness. If you have one witness saying that you ate chalev, that your tahara is tummy, that your shore was nirva, so if you are silent when the one reports it, so that shtika is constructed as a hodah, and therefore you would have to deal with the repercussions. And then the rest of today's daf, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, dealt with what if one witness says that your wife was mezana. Do you have to believe that report of the one witness saying that your wife was mezana? Abaye says yes, Rava says no. And then the ensuing discussion that takes place is support for Abaye, support for Rava. We're still in the middle of the discussion. We're starting tomorrow with the last words of Samech Vav Amud Aleph, and we're going to finish off discussing proofs for Abaye, proofs for Rava. As you could probably guess, halacha is going to follow like Rava. Obviously, they're very serious issues.